We're going to see a continued low-level jihadist threat posed pretty much by the what we call, you know, grassroots jihadists, people who are sympathetic to groups like the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda. But we believe that those groups themselves are going to continue to have difficulty sending professional terrorists to the U.S. And really, as we look back historically, we haven't seen, you know, that type of operation with the, you know, a successful operation with professional terrorists in the U.S. since 9/11. So, you know, I believe we're going to continue to see that low-level threat from grassroots jihadists.
So how would these groups launch any attacks that they would launch here in the U.S.?
It's going to manifest itself mostly in simple attacks, things like armed assaults, vehicular assaults, edge weapons attacks, those sorts of things. Maybe even some simple bombings using, you know, pipe bombs, pressure cooker bombs, and really across the spectrum, you know, the threat level's about the same.
What about American terrorists or what we call domestic terrorists?
As we look at, you know, right wing terrorism here domestically, whether it is, you know, racially motivated, whether it is, you know, just politically motivated, the profile of the attackers is going to be similar to what we see from the grassroots jihadis. They're not going to have much in the way of advanced terrorist tradecraft, and we're going to see mostly simple attacks. So we have a possibility of seeing things like armed assaults, small bombings, vehicular assaults. And indeed, you know, that's what we've seen in the past. You know, going back to Charlottesville with the vehicular assault, or even, you know, the pipe bombings that we saw, or the attempted pipe bombings, you know, last month in D.C. with the pipe bombs left at the RNC and DNC headquarters, or even the past shootings that we've seen from white right wing actors in places like El Paso, Pittsburgh, etc.
How do you think domestic terrorism will compare to international terrorism in the U.S.?
Well, I think that as we look at the two streams, you know, we're definitely let me start that again. I think that as we compare international terrorism with domestic terrorism, we are going to see that there's just going to be more actors and more potential actors out there. And just due to the number of, you know, causes that we have, and whether that's something, you know, racial, whether that's something political, there just are more potential actors on that domestic realm. And that can range anywhere there again from, you know, the far left on the anarchist fringe to the far right with the white supremacists. So there's just such a broad array of domestic actors that they do consider, or they do continue to be, you know, a very persistent and concerning threat. That said, I don't believe that this is, you know, the zombie apocalypse. I don't think we're going to see a massive increase in the number of attacks. And I don't expect to see, you know, huge attacks like the Oklahoma City bombing. I think that we're going to see in 2021 just this persistent low-level threat with these chances of, you know, armed assaults and low-level bombings.
You know, one of the first rules of protesting is don't burn down your own town. And so the question that I'm asking is, are domestic extremists less dangerous because this is their country too?
I don't believe so. I don't believe that domestic extremists are less dangerous because they live here. And in some ways, you know, that gives them an advantage. You know, they have to do less surveillance, you know, and it's easier for them to acquire weapons, to network and to plan the attacks on a foreigner, you know, who's coming in from the outside, even though the foreigner would, you know, have better tradecraft. You know, there are just advantages to being the homegrown guy.